Let's talk about Deja Vu. Not the Beyoncé song.
Let's talk about Bujardet.
I don't know her.
Mm-hmm.
No. How do you describe that feeling when you have it? Like, how does it feel in your body?
It feels like trickery.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, I've been there before.
Details.
Like, the glitch in the Matrix. I feel like it's, like, a feeling of, like, not like the feeling when you throw up, which I did recently, which I don't recommend everybody, mm-hmm. where you get wet mouth, but, I mean, it's true. Don't give me that face. Wet mouth. Mouth sweats. It's sort of like that feeling, but without the mouth sweats, essentially. It kind of is like...
Really?
Yeah.
That's how it feels for you?
Mm-hmm. It's like I know something's coming.
Oh.
Like I feel like a Macbeth witch.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Who's double-double toiling and troubling.
No, by the pricking of my thumb, something wicked this way comes.
This way.
This way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. I don't feel that way when I get deja vu. I don't get like...
How do you feel?
Well, it's definitely an uncertainty. I've heard people describe deja vu as like, oh, it's a sign that you're in the right place at the right time. And I do like that. The optimist in me likes to lean on to that, mm-hmm. you know? I always feel like, oh, I'm back here again. Yeah, because I missed something the first time. Mm-hmm. Like somehow I've been brought back to the space. It feels like when you work really hard to get really far in a Mario, an old Mario level, and then you take the wrong pipe and it brings you back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That's what deja vu feels like for me. So yes, do you get deja vu on the trail ever?
Only if we've done it before. I feel like, you know.
Right.
I don't think I've ever had it specifically where I have felt it deep in my bones, but if we've been on a trail before, there are anticipatory moments. Like I'm thinking about Long Point in New River Gorge, we've done before multiple times. The only other thing would be like, oh, this feels like this other park.
Yeah, that happens a lot. I would say you get on a trail or we get on a trail. It feels really similar to a trail in another park.
Yeah.
And it does remind me of that.
Yeah.
Though I wouldn't call that full on deja vu.
No, I think it's just recollection.
But sometimes, yes. Or I think sometimes I would describe if I do get real deja vu on a trail, it's more just rooted in frustration of I'm looking at the same thing still and I feel like we've been walking for miles and miles
sure.
and nothing has changed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national park. At the national park. At the national park. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
We would like to acknowledge that while visiting and hiking the land, also known as White Sands National Park, that we are on the traditional and stolen land of the Lipan Apache, Mescalero Apache, and Tempacho people.
Okay, so this was our one and only day in White Sands National Park. You can hear our other episode on the other gypsum sand trails here in White Sands.
That's right.
This was a bigger trip that we did that included Guadalupe Mountains, Carlsbad Caverns, and Saguaro, which we did all in 1 week. So it is possible to do all four of these in 1 week.
It's true.
The day we visited White Sands National Park was the day we traveled from Carlsbad, New Mexico, the town, to Tucson, Arizona, to go to Saguaro National Park, but we did stop at White Sands along the way, and here we are, which is where these episodes are coming from.
In our previous episode, we hiked the Playa Trail, the Interlude Boardwalk, and the Dune Life Nature Trail. We also explored the Visitor Center, and the Visitor Center is tiny and very doable and worth the trip. In this episode, we head out to the end of the park road in White Sands and hike the full loop of the Alkali Flat Trail, a 5-mile loop. The longest trail within the park.
Everything we will do in this episode was on the same day as everything we did in the previous episode. Thus, White Sands is absolutely doable in a day or even half a day. Okay, so we had just finished the Dune Life Nature Trail, which, well, technically we hadn't just finished it. What we had just finished was the Interlude Boardwalk, because we did report on those in our episode on the Gypsum Sand Trails, a little out of order than what we actually did them in. But we just finished up the Interlude Boardwalk Trail. And Becky mentioned that we had basically done everything and that the only other trail was a large 5-mile loop called the Alkali Flat Trail. And Becky shared that it was just going to be a lot of the same thing and that she didn't need to do it. But if we wanted to, we could. So what was going through your mind at that time?
I think when you encounter a park where there's less to do than you think, I'm always sort of like, well, what else could we do? Because I'm like, there's definitely more to do here, right? And we haven't encountered too many of those parks, but I think the person who likes to walk and hike within me was like, let's do the 5 miles. It's not that hot right now. It actually feels really nice considering we had just come from like Marchy April New Jersey weather, which is often damp and still very cool. So I was like, let's do it. That's where I was. What about
you?
Yeah.
I was on the fence because we had had 3 previous days of full hiking days, like sure, up to this point. I think I was tired and I knew we still had like 4 hours to drive. I was like, oh my God, are we going to hike this 5-mile loop? Because hiking on sand dunes, yeah, it had been our experience up to that point, because the only ones we had done at that point was Great Sand Dunes.
No, we hadn't done Indiana.
Oh, and we had done Indiana Dunes, but we had not done Death Valley yet.
No.
But sand dunes are dunes of sand. And so I was a little bit like, well, is this going to feel as exciting as doing 5 miles like of incline and decline through a cascading landscape? Or will it just feel like a lot of the same? So I was a little bit on the fence, but we decided that we were just going to get in the car and sort of head out to the trailhead just to see how we felt. And then we would decide. So we drove the park road, which turns into a sand road, to head out to the trailhead. And I say trailhead in parentheses because it's like, it's a sand head really is what it is. So again, White Sands is literally enormous sand dunes made of gypsum sand. So when Becky said it was a lot of the same thing, it was quite literally a lot of the same thing.
We arrive at the parking lot and there weren't a ton of cars, and we park and I get my bag on, and Becky and you have resolved that, okay, we're going to do this trail. Mike's ready to go. I guess we're going with him. And you did. You acquiesced. And we take some time here, once we've fully decided that this is what everybody's doing, to restroom, to snack, and to get prepared to head out.
We walk to one end of this sand parking lot area. We walk through quite a bit of dunes on the way there that are way taller than us. And then we finally spot the place where we are supposed to start to do this loop. It requires us to walk up and out onto a dune to reach the first marker on the top. And the park's way of keeping hikers on this trail, that I'm going to say in quotation marks, is these markers in the sand. There are these markers that you can see throughout that are making sort of a loop.
Yeah, we encountered this on the Dune Life Nature Trail too.
Right. Though this was a bigger loop, so you can still see most of them, but I mean, it's kind of like a, it's not a perfect circle. It's like a, like an oblong oval, yeah, shape that it goes really far out and then turns. So you can kind of see the furthest one out there. You can see most of them.
But you can also, like, at a certain point too, you can see where people are making the bank to turn around too. Everything is so open, so there is a lot of visibility here.
Yeah. So how would you describe this landscape?
I mean, it just felt like very cinematic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is the desert look that comes to mind when you Google images of desert, or when people talk about being stranded in a desert. Like, this is kind of what that looks like. It's just dunes with, like,
but it's all white too.
But, and it's all white, right, and it's, you know, mountains in the background, mm-hmm, but it, like, it looks like the dunes just, mm-hmm, don't stop.
Right. So sunblock, everybody, because, oh, yeah, just like snow, this white is reflecting up at you.
Yeah.
I think one of the things we took away from our trip to Rainier with Becky was get in your nostrils too with that sunblock, because that sun is shining up those nostrils.
It is. Yeah. It's reflecting up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really bright.
Mm-hmm. So at first, the hike from the first point to the second point is not so bad. There are some gentle up and down hills that we have to take, but nothing that's too dramatic. And over to the left, we see a lone creosote bush surviving in the sand. And over to the right, we can see the markers on the other side of the loop.
We make it to marker number two, and then quickly make it to marker number three. And we can see faintly across the dune field that there are other hikers on the other side. And other than these folks way over on the other side
that are continuing the loop or finishing the loop.
Exactly. Yeah. We have the dunes entirely to ourselves, and there's literally no one else here.
We calculate how much further we need to go based off of where we're headed, and we think we spot the midway point up ahead.
And with that, let's take our first break. Hey, y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right. It's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season one is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
Okay, so we're playing Walk Run again. And how does this game work?
We give each other a topic or an item that either walked so something else could propel and run, or we give the other end of the spectrum, like what walked so this item could run, essentially.
And we or both thing or we person. Can bo- we both give the answer. We both give an answer,
right.
And it like leads kind of unlocks, you know, where your brain is thinking,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. How your psyche works. So, okay, I have one.
Okay.
This is content we don't necessarily partake in all the time unless we're over at certain people's homes. But Bluey, what walked so that Bluey could run?
I feel like Wishbone walked so Bluey could run.
Interesting.
I mean, that's like that's a real stretch, but it's dog related. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's dog related content that feels like that maybe ran so something else could have jogged, which is something I've heard. So then that Bluey could have run.
Interesting.
So let's say that Wishbone was the, I feel like that's also maybe misplaced because it is cartoon based entertainment.
It's okay. That's okay. But yeah. No, I like where your brain went there.
So Wishbone
was
walked,
your walked so that Bluey
could run. But I feel like there's a jog in there somewhere.
My answer was Blue's Clues walked so that Bluey could run. But okay. I think that's because
they're blue dogs.
They're both blue dogs. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they are not the first two blue dogs that have ever existed.
No,
you know,
no,
I mean,
no.
There have been other blue dog characters.
Sure.
That's what I would say.
Okay. What ran because of the Jetsons?
Oh, so
now the, we're since we're our theme
the
is
Jetsons
cartoons.
Walked so that what could run?
Yeah.
Well, immediately comes to mind for me is Lost in Space, but I think they might have come out around the same time. The original Lost in Space. I don't know if they came out at the same time. I'm going to assume the Jetsons came out earlier than this, but I think the Jetsons walked so that the Brady Bunch could run. Because those are the same archetypes.
I guess so, yeah.
I mean, it's not the three kids and the three right. kids, but it's
or
essentially...
Or divorced parents.
Or, yeah, none yeah. of that.
But we have a maid.
But there's the maid and there's the I don't know. The parents feel very Brady Bunch coded to me.
I would say that Futurama ran.
Oh.
Because the Jetsons walked.
I feel like they took a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Totally see that.
Yeah. And that's Walk Run.
Okay, so since the geological characteristics of White Sands National Park are so special and specific, we're going to go over how these dunes formed and how the area we are hiking in this episode, the Alkali Flat Trail, is connected to all of it. Now, we did just do a deep dive in our Trail Mix episode of Wildlife of White Sands. So do go listen to that and hear the full report on why these dunes are covered in gypsum. But we're going to do this like a game, and we're going to see how much Mike remembers. So Mike, all you have
to do is... you'd be the teacher everybody hated. I just want you to know that, because I hate you right now.
No, but I think you're going to remember more than you think.
Okay, great.
Okay, so just sit back and we're going to fill in the blanks and see how well we do with this quiz. Okay, are we ready? Okay, so it all started 250 million years ago when all of the land on the Earth was connected, and that was also known as...
Pangaea.
Yes, exactly. So during this time, the area that became the southwestern part of the U.S. was covered by the Permian Sea, but there was one very important characteristic about the sea. It was very what?
Shallow, like you.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. And during this time, the Permian Sea was covered in this mineral.
What's gypsum?
That's right. And that mineral at that time was in what form?
It was dissolved.
That's
it was
right.
Liquid.
It was dissolved. It was in water. But then millions of years later, the tectonic plates started shifting, and out of the earth, these shot up.
The Power Rangers. The mountains.
Yes, the mountains. And then a few million years later, these mountains began to pull apart, creating two ranges. And what were those ranges?
The Sacramento Mountains and the...
San Andreas.
Oh, San Andreas.
Mountains, yes. Okay. And between these two ranges, there was a basin called...
The Playa.
No.
The Permian Basin.
No, it's the Permian Sea, but it is called the Tularosa Basin. So soon, deposits from the Rio Grande closed off the basin, causing this lake to form. And what was the name of that lake?
Lake Otero.
That's right. And then rain and snow would take what mineral down from the mountains and bring it down to Lake Otero?
What's gypsum?
That's right. But millions of years later, Lake Otero began to what?
Evaporate.
That's right. And it left behind the crystallized form of gypsum called?
Japsum.
No, called selenite.
Selenite.
That's right. It also left a dry riverbed, and that dry riverbed was, no, or a dry lake bed, and that's known as?
Lake Lucero.
No, that's known as Playa.
Oh, Playa.
Playa is like that dry bed, right? So then the leftover gypsum was carried by what creating the dunes and polishing them and giving them their white color?
What's the wind?
That's right. And after this cycle with the mountains and the gypsum being brought down into the basin, and the evaporation continues with this lake that still exists today that contains only a little bit of the water from the original Lake Otero.
What's Lake Lucero?
That's right. See, you nailed it.
Look at that.
You did it. You got it.
Pop quiz hotshot.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So we are on the Alkali Flat Trail. And the Alkali Flat is actually what they call the dried up Lake Otero is called now the Alkali Flat, which is this 5-mile loop that we're walking. And we basically have the entire place to ourselves.
It's true. It is a little bit of that game we had to play on other trails where it's like, I see the next marker and I can kind of, not from exhaustion and not even from like, it wasn't incredibly hot. It was warm for sure. But like just for like sanity purposes, it's like, oh, there's the next marker. We can get there. Look, we're going to just keep moving and then we're there. Up. Yeah. And there's the next marker. Like it was a little bit of like I spy. Because they're
fun.
Just thin poles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And It definitely broke it up because, you know, I think I could never do this in the heat. Like
no.
In a real serious heat situation.
No, and you shouldn't.
And it was warm, But it was not hot.
No, it was like, I would say upper 70s for sure. But again, the sun is beating off of these white dunes onto your body and the heat is just kind of radiating up. So it's definitely warm. It definitely was strange to be out here alone. And I'm imagining it's got to be very, very neat to be in the dune field in like if you have like a full moon, just because like the moon coming up and reflecting off of, or the light of the moon, like bouncing off of the dunes, has to be beautiful, like, and ghostly.
So randomly while we were out here, we somehow had cell phone service because I remember answering a phone call in the middle of this hike. It was very strange to suddenly have cell service. That happens sometimes, but usually it's when peaks are involved.
Sure.
But it was strange to have cell phone service out in the middle of this. So we perch here at the center of the loop for a few, and we have a snack and we refuel. And we can see where we're headed next, which is we're just continuing. It's like one loop around. We're continuing to loop around to the right. And when I say it is, again, looking out in the distance, and it's just white sand for literal miles in every direction.
As we're sitting here and staring kind of into the distance of dunes, we are sort of at this like edge marker point that has like a do not enter sign basically past this point. Like the Alkali Flats sort of butts up against like what is a test field for the nearby Air Force Base. So, and again, we talked about this in the last White Sand Dunes episode. They do missile testing and ballistics testing here. And sometimes that closes the park road. Like you can't actually get into the park. This is like, do not go past this point. There could be unexploded ordnances here. So that was really interesting to have that kind of moment butting up against a park. The only other time I can feel like that has felt somewhat similar is Joshua Tree. Because like 49 Palms is right there, which is a big Marine base.
White Sands is quite big, but the part that people can go to is quite small comparatively.
We do have the snack moment here kind of at the middle of the trail. And it is interesting, again, as we're getting out to this point, we can see the other kind of arm or the other edge of the loop, and you can see people. Like, there were people ahead of us most of the time, but we can see them looping back towards the parking lot. It's nice to have a visual clock of someone else moving in the dunes, even though we, for the most part, are surrounded by nothing but gypsum sand, essentially.
After taking a moment to regroup, we reset and we continue to head to the back half of this loop. Everything is going almost exactly the same as it did in the front half until we reach a major, major dune hill, which didn't look like it was going to be a major dune hill from where we were standing before, but it is big and it is a lot.
Yeah.
And there's no way around it. And the only way to continue is to go directly up and over.
And with that, let's take our next break. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage
Anna Mary Way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Anna Mary Way. I think she's sponsored by a whey protein powder because she's a whey queen.
She's a whey queen, okay. Yeah. And she's constantly on the go. So she's got to fuel up with her protein powder.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's her Anna Mary Way's protein. Anna Mary Way protein.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. For a gal on the go.
For a gal on the go. That's love and friendship and having it all.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think she is like an 80s businesswoman queen.
Oh, okay.
Or
a
she's
little working a girl.
Or she's like an early 90s like fitness influencer queen. Or maybe.
Why can't she be both?
She can be both. Or maybe she is an older drag queen. Because I feel like now the generation of women who are entering their 70s are also now starting to get really, really protein conscious. And so they're eating a lot more protein now, I think, generally speaking. And so, or at least that's what they're telling them, like for their bone density.
Sure.
And they're also saying like, hey, it's good to go lift weights.
Yeah.
Now, at every age of your life, it's good to lift heavy things, and protein helps retain that muscle.
It sure does. But this isn't an ad for protein, is it?
Or is she?
Or is she? Yeah. I mean, I think she could be a septuagenarian who is very protein conscious and is also just filled with joy. Like, she's a joy queen. She's like, we're going to work out together, and it might just be 5 pound weights, but we're going to kill it. And we're going to put on some slamming like jams, and I'm going to lip sync for my life up here.
Yes.
I'm going to death drop and That's hopefully not break a hip.
Well, I think too, she could say like, well, this is how you would death drop with like good.
For safety.
For safety. Like, and we're going to care about like how we move matters. So we're going to death drop gently. Exactly. So I think it's a little Sit and Be Fit, if you remember that program. Yeah. Thank God for Sit and Be Fit. My grandmother used to do it.
Yeah.
I like this on a merry way, and she's got a protein powder. She might even have like pre-created little protein drinks and bottles that she peddles.
Mm-hmm. And I think she lip syncs to Olivia Newton-John's Let's Get Physical.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. She might even do like a mashup of that and Dua Lipa's Physical, which is also a great song.
Mm-hmm.
So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage.
On a Merry Way.
All right, Mike, are you ready for another pop quiz? I'm kidding. No. There's not another one.
Please, no. I've popped all I can as far as quizzes go.
I know.
Mm-hmm. The next thing is to pop a hip.
Not if you do On a Merry Way's workout.
That's right.
That's right.
Just 25 minutes a day.
That's right.
So we are on the second half of the loop, and we have encountered what is our first big dune of this entire trail system.
Right, but we did not know it was going to be our first, meaning that there were others. More.
Mm-hmm. The back half of this trail is a lot of up and down, we'll say.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yes, that we did not anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd gone about 3 miles, so we had about 2 miles left.
Mm-hmm.
There was no avoiding this because it was either
turn
go back
around
the way we came and walk longer or just bound
hoof
up.
It.
Right.
Yeah.
So we slog all the way up to the top of this dune.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it was hard because it's fully exposed, of course, as we know. It's literally like the sky and white sand and mountains in the distance. I remember like our boots just kept getting buried in the gypsum sand with like every step we took.
Mm-hmm.
And like I had gypsum sand in everywhere.
Oh yeah. It was, there were a few times where it was like, I'm going to actually like stand in like tree pose, take my boot off and shake the sand out.
Yeah.
It was fruitless though.
Oh yeah, because just more would get in it.
Mm-hmm.
We make it to the top of this dune. We see what is ahead of us. And it was literally like for the next 2 miles.
Incline, decline.
We're going to have to grunt our way up a whole bunch more of these very tall dunes. And there was kind of no way around it. It was either just like go straight across the center of them. You could maybe hug the side of it if you wanted like a little bit less, but
you could angle up too. That was,
you could angle up. That was like another option.
It was like, okay, we're not gonna like go barrel straight up it. I'm gonna like come around, like I see where the marker is up at the top, and I'm gonna like go a longer distance but for less grade, basically, is what was another option we had. We all make choices on each of these dunes. I don't know that any of them were the best choice, but we all do different things. Becky uses her poles to gently make her way down. Dusty, you went down on like an angle and tried to go up like the shortest side of the next dune.
And it was just as successful as going up the tallest section, you know?
Yeah.
I think finally I gave up and was like, I just have to bury my feet with every step and just sign up for getting sand everywhere.
I did have a lot of fun bounding down them. Like I just was like healing in and like living my best life. I was like, because it was soft, there was no danger here of like really really hurting yourself. I mean, you can hurt yourself anywhere, but I just was like, great, this is a lot of fun. I'm just gonna make the most of it, and I'll deal with the sand in my boot, the gypsum in my boot later.
We'll get it out later. We were not wearing gaiters, unfortunately, so we knew it was gonna end up everywhere.
Kind of even with gaiters, I feel like it would have gotten in there too.
Yeah. We do this for a few dunes, and finally, we are like, this has got to be the last one, and we make it up to the top of this dune, and we look out, and we see what?
More of the same!
Exactly. Literally.
Exactly.
Just more of the same.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we were like, oh, God. Okay, here we go. Mm-hmm. So Becky decides she's going to go along the side to try and make it a little bit of an easier go for herself.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing my best to sort of like go down sideways, as you were describing.
Yep.
But this was when I decided to just abandon it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, the most direct way to tackle these is just to go straight up and straight down and dig the heels in
just
when
like
you needed to.
That's right. And it was an effective method. I think I also am like, I live for the uphill. The downhill is not my favorite, but here the downhill was fun.
And I agree that the downhill was very fun here. Mm-hmm. And also, no lie, the uphill was fun too. I mean, it was tough.
Yeah,
but
it was
tough. Just like, it was twice as many steps going up, and it's just like, dig your heel in, and it's not like heavy. Nothing about it is heavy. No. It's just like, you're not getting very far with every step.
Yeah. So we just all are kind of doing this at this point. We bound down the next hill with gigantic steps, sinking down in the sand with each step, and then bounding up the next hill with smaller steps. So it was this like repeated process of a slow up and then a very quick descent.
And we really thought we were only going to have to do this a couple times, but we did this like 6 or 7 times. Mm-hmm.
Thanks. The kids are howling everywhere with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're welcome. Mm-hmm. You're welcome. I'm not a teacher, so I don't have to encounter it all the time.
Yep.
You're welcome. I would say even the smaller dune hills required us to do exactly the same thing, and it just led to us being exhausted because we had just done a full day of hiking in Guadalupe Mountains the day before that. Carlsbad Caverns we did all day the day before that, and before that we did the longest hike in Guadalupe Mountains on our first day. So yeah, we had a lot going on.
We did. Yeah. Tired. But the sun did feel, it was the warmest park we had been in on this trip. Yes. So I was like,
well, up until Saguaro. Saguaro was also very warm.
So we keep grunting up and bounding down. And this finally takes us to the final marker where things start to even out. As we're getting closer to the parking lot too, we can kind of see people that are further out on the sand in cars and like with tents. So this was very interesting. Like it felt like we had reached like caravan culture as we started to get back here. And Becky met us at the end and she had her own tough time on the side that she was hiking. So we were never at a point where we couldn't see her, but we had definitely chosen some different routes as we were going on specific dunes. But we all end up kind of on this flat run of sand that leads us back to the parking lot.
And from here, we threw off our gear dramatically and had some more snacks.
And emptied our boots.
And emptied our boots, which, God, they had way more sand in it than I ever thought they could contain.
Mm-hmm.
And then we settled in to drive to Saguaro National Park.
We did.
All right, let's put the Alkali Flat Trail on the Karen Stone scale.
Great.
I'm going to give it a 6.
Great. I'm going to give it a 5 because I thought it was tough, but it was like middle of the road tough. And it was, I know that it wasn't your favorite. I know I was the one that was like, let's do it. And I still stand by the fact that I had a lot of fun on it. I'd love to see it. Like, I'd love to do it like at a dusky time or dawn just to see how the color on the dunes is different, like with the sunrise or sunset. I'm sure that would be beautiful. I don't know. It just had a little bit of a jungle gym feel for me. Because you could bound down those hills very fast.
Oh, I thought
fast.
It sounded like you didn't enjoy it.
Oh, no.
That's how you were qualifying.
No, I really enjoyed it.
Oh, okay.
I didn't find the detractors to be enough to give me a higher rating.
Oh, certainly not. Yeah. No, I get that. The I just think the uphill was tough. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, that's fair.
Because, you know, when it comes to difficulty, that was the difficulty. So 11 out of 20 Karen Stones.
Great. And now let's end this episode with some Jeopardy-style trivia. All right, Jeopardy-style trivia.
It's time.
I'm going to get us started today.
Okay, great. I'm ready.
My Jeopardy is titled Alkaline Trio. And it's all about the band Alkaline Trio. In this category, I will be giving you 3 substances.
You're going to be giving me polyatomic ions, and I just have to be able to
name
them.
That's right. I need you to remember them all. This category is going to, I'm going to give you three clues, and you're going to need to name 3 things that have an alkaline consistency to them, or that are heavy with alkaline. And so alkaline is a substance that has a pH greater than 7, indicating that they're basic.
I see.
Rather than acidic. All of these things are things that are common and that you know. The clues will help you to understand.
I'm ready.
So Alkaline Trio for 100. The category is soup stock basics. These 3 alkaline food items could make you cry, make you want to dunk or dip into dip, or could make you think about ants on a log.
Oh, okay. Well,
could make you cry.
That's an onion.
Could make you want to dunk or dip and dip.
Is that celery?
Nope.
Or is it carrot?
Carrot. And could make you think about ants on a log.
Is that celery?
Yeah.
Okay,
there you go.
Great.
Soup stocked basics. All alkalines.
I don't get the connection of celery and ants on a log.
What do you mean? Ants on a log is celery with peanut butter and raisins on it. That's ants on a log.
In your culture and your raising and your childhood, I've never heard that before in my life. And
as
maybe,
a snack?
True. No. I mean, oh. Never. Never.
Well, welcome to the education of Dustin and Ballard.
You said ants on a log, and I was like, I totally decided
like
I would just get
like
everything else.
That's like a kid snack.
I think that's like a...
I mean, it's like an adult snack, but it's referred to as ants on a log to kids.
That may be a your family thing.
No, it's not. It's a very, like, that is a culturally correct, like, usage.
Yeah, okay.
People use ants on a log. We're going to look it up later.
I trust you. That's fine. But I've never heard this before, and I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that I know. The South never, mm-hmm. that wasn't a thing.
Okay, well,
no, we were eating king cake.
I would have called them frogs on the log if I was in the South.
Well, but frogs aren't raisin colored.
But they can be.
I mean, I guess so.
I love that we have frogs. Devolved into an ants on a log conversation in the midst of this Jeopardy. The first question of
the
Jeopardy.
The other thing I think of is like Aunt Sylvia, Aunt Patricia on a log. Ants on a log.
That's aunts on a log.
No, that's to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. For aunts, 200.
Aunts on a log.
For 200. The category is salad bases baby. These three yes. alkaline food items need a massage before eating, is rather peppery, and can make Popeye strong.
Okay. What is kale? Mm-hmm. The third one is spinach. Mm-hmm. And then the second one is peppery. And so is it? Arugula?
Yeah, you got it. Look at that.
I love arugula.
We all
love
do. It. For 300, the category is Into the Woods Garden Stock, baby. These three alkaline food items found in the witch's wrap may be found as a side for corned beef, is an Italian herb, but also a garnish in many dishes, and is something that can change the odor of your urine.
Okay, so the third one is asparagus. Mm-hmm. The first one, it's a side of ground beef.
A side to corned beef.
Corned beef is a cabbage.
Yep.
So cabbage is, and the second one is?
An herb that's Italian typically, and it's also a garnish in many dishes. We had it in the quinoa tonight.
Oh, is it parsley?
That's right.
There
Look
we
at
go.
That. Mm-hmm. For 400, the category is protein-packed vegan items. These three alkaline food items include a spongy item that takes on the flavor of whatever it is cooked in, is an incredibly protein-packed grain, and is something that is found in a pod.
Okay. Is the first one, which is...
The spongy item that takes on the flavor of whatever it's cooked in.
Tofu.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then the second one...
An incredibly protein-packed grain.
Is that quinoa?
Yep.
Okay, and then the third one
is something found in a pod.
Edamame.
No.
No, it's, oh,
Be
but it
less
is found
specific.
In a pod.
Yeah.
Peas?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Great. All right, and for 500, the category is baking. These three alkaline food items are in an item that may come in an oil form, but is often shaved for baking, could act as a non-dairy fill-in for milk, and may help you to make pie with strawberries.
Okay, so the first one is coconut.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is the, comes in oil form, but it's usually shaved for mm-hmm. baking.
Yep.
The second one, which the clue was?
Act as a non-dairy fill-in for milk.
Non-dairy fill-in for milk. It's not evaporated milk.
Think about a non-dairy milk.
Soy milk, there's oat milk, there's almond milk.
There you go.
There we go. Okay, great. And then the third one.
May help you make a pie with strawberries.
Is that evaporated milk? Custard?
No, it's an actual ground, I believe it's a ground vegetable.
Oh, rhubarb?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, there
yeah.
we go.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Is that evaporated milk? And that's Alkaline Trio.
I liked that. That mm-hmm. was really fun. My mm-hmm. science nerd interests are tapped.
Peaked. With a Q-U-E-D.
That's right.
So what's your Jeopardy?
My Jeopardy is called Gypsy Sand Dunes.
Gypsy Sand Dunes.
Gypsum sounds so familiar, sounds very much like the word gypsy. These are all things in pop culture that contain the word gypsy or are about something like that. So in the iconic musical Gypsy, the central character of Mama Rose will do anything for her two daughters, June and Louise, in order to make them stars in show business. Mama Rose has iconically been played by many actresses. Name three of them.
Audra McDonald.
Correct.
Bernadette
Most recent.
Peters.
Yes.
And Oh my God, her name just went right up. Patti LuPone.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Her ghost haunted you, so you would never forget. Mm-hmm. That is correct. Other actresses that have played her include Tyne Daly, mm-hmm. Rosalind Russell, mm-hmm. and Bette Midler.
Oh.
Bette Midler mm-hmm. did it in the made-for-TV film from the 90s, which, straight up, great movie. Great movie. For 200, at the end of Act Two of Gypsy, the musical, the character of Louise goes by this stage name, partially giving the musical its title.
What's Gypsy Rose?
There's more to that name. Those,
there Who's are Gypsy Rose Blanchard?
No, no. That's someone else. This is Gypsy Rose Lee.
Gypsy Rose Lee.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. No points.
Okay.
Okay, for 300.
Not even like two-thirds of a point?
Nope. Nope. The book for the musical, Gypsy, was written by Arthur Lawrence. The music by Julie Stein, and the lyrics by this world-class, world-famous musical theater composer who iconically was never credited again just for lyrics on any other project.
Who is Stephen Archibald Sondheim?
There you go. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because his initials spell sound. For 400. The song Gypsy by Lady Gaga appears on this, her fourth studio album, one that arguably flopped on the charts, but many people seek justice for.
What is Born This Way?
Oh, no. Incorrect. And that did not flop. This, okay. Born This Way was her
What is Joanne?
Third studio album. Oh, no. Joanne was her fifth studio album.
Okay.
So we are going with It's the Fame, The Fame Monster, followed by Born This Way, then this album, then Joanne, then Chromatica, then Mayhem.
I, file footage not found.
Oh my God.
Take the card.
Okay. What is Art Pop?
Oh, Art Pop. That one.
It had, you know, justice for Art Pop is what they say. Anyway. Okay. And for 500, Gypsy Rose Blanchard was the center of fame and controversy for ending her mother's life after a lifetime of torture at the hands of her mother. The subject of both documentary film and episodic scripted television, Dee Dee Blanchard famously suffered from this disorder, causing her to keep her daughter intentionally ill and frail so that she could care for her and in turn receive and gain love, adoration, and attention from others.
What is Munchausen's by proxy?
That is correct. Munchausen by proxy. That was what her mother famously suffered from.
Of course she did. Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Justin Dallard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.